5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio, and I'm very pleased to continue my conversation with Josh Rogan of the Washington Post, whose new book is Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. Josh helps us to identify the whole-of-society approach that the People's Republic of China was taking to influence, that's a generous diplomatic word, decisions made by politicians and voters in the United States towards the People's Republic, which is declared very clearly to the Obama administration, to the Trump administration, and will continue to declare into the future, our integrity, territorial integrity, our sovereignty will not be challenged, will not be challenged. However, they come here to undermine our understanding of our sovereignty, of our integrity. All right, fine. How do they do that? Josh, first, before we go to Wall Street, what is the Thousand Talent Plan? What was it?
Well, the Thousand Talents program is just one, the largest one, but only one of over 200 talent recruitment programs that the Chinese Communist Party runs to attract foreign scientists, academics, and researchers to contribute to their system. Now, there's a part of that that's overt and public, but there's a big part of it that's covert and secret, and that's the part that the U.S. government has started to crack down on, mostly in 2018 and 2019, and still continues to this day. And basically what the U.S. government kept finding was that, you know, American researchers had been paid enormous sums of money to secretly take non-public research from their American institutions and hand it over to their Chinese counterparts. And, you know, this is against the law in many cases, especially when you're talking about American funding of this research, but it's also just sort of crazy when you think about it, because, you know, we had this entire scientific community that's sort of very integrated, and we'd always valued that integration, and then we found out, or it slowly became obvious, that the Chinese side was abusing that integration and abusing that engagement to steal huge amounts of scientific knowledge, again, before it was public, in order to capitalize on it for both military and economic purposes, and that problem remains to this day.
Big tech. You name Apple, Google. I'm sure we could go down the list. You also talk about the Secretary of the Treasury, the tech sector, and then there are the chip makers. Josh, is it your measure that these large entities, Apple being, I think, the largest on the planet, understood that in trading with China, they were taking risks on a daily basis of compromise?
Yeah, I mean, different tech giants have different levels of exposure. Apple has the most exposure because it's the most dependent on the Chinese market and most dependent on Chinese laborers. So it's a textbook story of when a country just becomes a hostage to the Chinese Communist Party, and then the Chinese Communist Party starts to put on the squeeze. And first, they demand that you move all your servers inside China, which basically undermines all of your users' privacy. Then next, they come and demand that you take Hong Kong apps off of the App Store, and the next thing you know, they're telling you to, you know, pretend that Taiwan is not its own country in all of your websites. And before you know it, you're just doing the bidding of the Chinese Communist Party. That's a bind that Apple finds itself in, for which there is no clear solution. You know, other companies have all sorts of different approaches. Google exited China in 2010 when they realized that they were getting thoroughly hacked, and then slowly but surely started to dip its toe back in, eventually establishing an artificial intelligence center in China, and you know, with a Chinese company. And there's some sort of understanding amongst all of these tech executives that there's going to be some level of theft, right? That doing business in China, you're going to lose some of your IP. You're going to be forced into some sort of joint venture where they rob you blind. But if you can make enough money and get enough scientific benefit out of it, the cost benefit might work in that analysis for the, as far as it goes. But what happened in 2019 and 2018, to some degree, was that the national security community started coming to these tech companies and saying to them, do you realize what you're doing? Do you understand that your this cooperation is not only undermining U.S. national security, but you're contributing to, you know, you're making yourselves complicit in atrocities and you're undermining our broader, you know, goals as a country and as an economy. And that also did not always go well. And, you know, then you had companies like Facebook who saw the Chinese tech industry coming for them and switched sides. In the middle of 2019, Mark Zuckerberg switched from trying to get into China to trying to compete with China because he realized that it was no longer an issue of him penetrating the Chinese market. It was an issue of TikTok penetrating the U.S. market. And all of a sudden, the Chinese had the first mover advantage. And all of this time, President Trump is lording over these debates, you know, quite incompetently. And at times when he appoints people like Steve Mnuchin to negotiate with them, all of the incentives get mixed and all of the Wall Street incentives and the tech incentives and the national security incentives start to clash in ways that nobody can control. So that's a real mess that someone eventually is going to have to untangle.
Wall Street, the investor class, those responsible for large funds, CalPERS, you identify one of them. Do they have an easy or do they have a straightforward or do they have a plan at all to disentangle themselves from investing and providing capital to bad actors in China?
Well, quite the opposite. And what I document pretty extensively into the book, and this happens especially at the end of 2019 and into 2020, is that the Wall Street executives actually have the opposite goal. They have their goal is to integrate the economies as much as possible to get out ahead of these crazy national security guys who want some sort of decoupling. And the way that they do that is very savvy. First of all, if you look at the phase one trade deal, it actually is very focused on opening up financial markets for Wall Street firms inside China. It was a huge, huge win for them. And then as the national security people start to knock on all these doors in Wall Street and say, hey, do you realize that you're putting hundreds of millions of dollars of Americans' retirement funds, investor funds, and you're directing them towards Chinese companies that are building the missiles that are pointed at us and building the concentration camps that are committing genocide? And do you care about that? And do you realize that that's a material risk? One by one, these Wall Street firms either said, you're wrong, you want a Cold War, you know, or go to hell, you know. And so that's actually the bleeding edge of the China competition, so to speak. That's what the fight that's going on right now is. Wall Street, to an enormous degree, is very much resisting this idea that putting American investment into malign Chinese companies is something that we need to avoid. At the same time, it's becoming increasingly obvious, especially when you look at places like Hong Kong, that there's a huge risk in putting your money into these Chinese companies because these Chinese companies, just look at Jack Ma's company for an example, don't actually operate on free market principles, and they're all liable to get snuffed out by the Chinese Communist Party at any moment for any reason.
Josh Rogan is the author of Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. We turn now to 2020 and the virus. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.